So Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
Right, now, acceptable sins, anxiety and worry. And thank you for showing up, especially if this was a sermon that you thought, oh no, I don't even think that anxiety or worry is a sin. And you're right to be concerned. I put this up here because there will be some people who, as soon as we say anxiety, respectable sin, will be saying, oh no, another thing I'm doing wrong, okay? And that's not what this sermon is about, okay? We're going to discuss whether anxiety and worry is a sin or not. But please, if your first reaction is, oh no, I wish I hadn't stayed, please don't worry. Hang on in there. I believe God's got something to say that might be really good. And I hope I don't get in the way of that. So please do stay and listen. Tony told me in the coffee break, actually, that he used to have a poster that says, who says worrying doesn't work? None of the things I worry about ever happen. And I thought that was really good, actually. That kind of sort of summarizes it, doesn't it? But, you know, there are things that really worry us. And I remember, and I guess thinking about the Vision Camp that's coming up next weekend, I hope this is not a concern for worry at all of any sort. But I remember when many, many, many years ago, I used to be a youth leader, and we took a whole bunch of young teenagers up into Old Reading for a wide game. And one of them, who was quite a troubled and troublesome young lady called Angie, she had already run away from home twice, and we were up in the woods, and it got darker and darker, and when everyone else was meant to have come together, could we find Angie? And we searched high and low, and I was getting desperate. This is before the days, this it shows how old it was, of mobile phones. Can you imagine not having a mobile phone? And so we were in desperate straits. And I was thinking, we're going to have to call the police. We're going to have to start a manhunt. She's fallen down and hurt herself. She's run away again. And then she pops out from behind some bushes and says, hi, I'm here. And we nearly killed her. But I can assure you, until that point, we were absolutely anxious and worried. And, of course, wasn't that right that we should be? This sermon caused quite a stir. The head of pastoral care ministry is not here today. She's in Germany, Susanna, in the church because she's gone back to see her dad. But she wrote to me saying, actually, this is a really bad decision to have this title, Acceptable Sins, Anxiety. She said, you mustn't preach that. Anxiety is not a sin. You've got to handle it properly, Chris. And being Susanna, she gave me a good page telling me how to handle it properly, which I hope is included, okay? So I just want to make that clear. I hope that's included. In our house group, I led this session back at the beginning of May. And I think it would be fair to say, I'm looking at a number of the members of the house group, that about, the majority of us thought this was not a sin. We thought it was just how you react to things. So this is actually quite a hot topic. How do we handle things like this? I think some of it, of course, comes down to your temperament, to your character. Now, I'm going to pick on Lucy. She always tells me I must never do this. But when our kids were young and their mum, would start to get worried, we used to all jump around her singing, "Don't worry, be happy," like that, okay? Which, of course, was guaranteed to upset and depress her and get her more cross, okay? But nonetheless, we thought we would pass on that sort of wisdom. Some of you, now who knows whose quote this is or whose song this is? Bob Marley, thank you. Bob Marley, absolutely. So there's Bob Marley. "Don't worry about a thing, because every little thing going to be all right." Now, is that what the Bible says? That's what Bob Marley says. Is it what the Bible says, do you think? What do you think? No, some no, some yeah. Okay, well, so think about it, because some of the sermon might actually sort itself out if we could answer that question. But there was a lady called Julian of Norwich who was famous for being actually in a cell. She just prayed inside the walls of a cell probably most of her life in the 14th century. And she said this, "All shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well." Now, you might think, well, that's gobbledygook. But, you know, through the generations, many people have seen that as an incredible statement of faith, of trust in a sovereign God who works things out, who fixes things, who cares for people. And so to pray that, especially if you know something about her life, "all shall be well and all manner of things shall be well," takes a view of life from God's perspective, which is so much bigger than where we are. We're in the middle of stuff. So what we're going to do, I'm going to try actually and spend a fair bit of time answering the question, is worry, anxiety, sin? Then I'm going to take the passage that Lucy read right at the beginning, "Don't worry," says Jesus. And then I'm going to ask if we can really believe it or not. Okay? So, if we're going to answer the question, is anxiety sin, we have to ask ourselves, what is sin? What is sin? Well, let's start with an easy one. I think most of you would probably agree that breaking God's law is sin. On the whole, even in our society, most people will accept that murdering someone is sin. And God's law in Exodus says you shouldn't murder. If you're a Christian, most of us who are Christians would probably say not doing something that God commands us to do is also a sin. So actually, if we see someone in need and we ignore it, we would kind of accept that might also be a sin as well. Both those things are things that we do. Sin is stuff that we do that is not in line with what God has commanded. Okay, that's one category of sin. But I want to suggest to you that actually sin is whatever mucks up relationships with God and with each other. Whatever it is that mucks up relationships. And sin is the damage, hurt, disease, disorder, abuse that mucks us up, mucks up our society, mucks up our world. One of those passages on there, I'll leave, there's notes outside for those that want them on the desk as you leave. But the Numbers one talks about the sins of the fathers being visited on the children to the third and fourth generation. And some people say, that's terrible. Why should children and grandchildren suffer because of the sins of the fathers? But if we look at that in the world that we live in, we see time and time again how patterns of abuse, of neglect, of ill treatment in one generation impact the next generation and the next generation. We understand that there is consequence to sin that causes damage. And the Bible then also makes it clear, and this is perhaps the highest possible standard, that anything that pushes God out of first place, Anything that falls short of God's glory, that is sin. So we're right to be worried about stuff we do, but sin is so much more than that. It is anything which displaces God in first place. And so when we start to think about anxiety, it might help us to say it's not just about doing things. It might be about harm and hurt. It might even be about priorities in the way that we approach a problem. In the book of Isaiah, there's the amazing verses that say, "He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." And in the book of Peter, he uses that same verse to bring out the fact that there is that the death of Jesus, he bore our sins, is the stuff that we did that needs to get fixed. That's one thing. But also, by his wounds we are healed. And so the damage that sin has done in our lives, that's mucked us up, is as much dealt with at the cross as are the bad things, the corrupt things that we as individuals have done. And Jesus came to redeem us from both what we have done, which is wrong, and what's been done to us, which is wrong. His wounds heal us. So, is anxiety sin? And I've got two answers. And the first answer is no. Okay? Anxiety is a natural human emotional feeling in many situations. That was straight off Susanna's paper, so make sure you told her that she got quoted, okay? But she's right, isn't it? Anxiety, when I was up in the woods and we'd lost Angie, and Angie was a troubled girl who'd already run away from home a couple of times, I was right to be worried. That was an anxiety. I had a responsibility and I'd lost someone. That was a perfectly good reason to be anxious. Jesus himself was anxious, was in anguish when he looked forward at Gethsemane to the cross. It says he was in anguish. Paul despaired. It tells us he said, "At times we were so crushed, we despaired of hope." Paul himself worried. What did he worry about? He worried for a start about all the young churches that he planted and how they were going on. And time again, he says that. And so we can see in the scriptures that this was something that people, we do clearly know Jesus didn't sin, and yet he was in anguish because he knew what was going to happen. And he was anticipating it. And that led to deep, deep trouble in his spirit, anguish. And clearly and very importantly, in our society, we recognize absolutely that for some people, anxiety is a disease. It's the result of sin, because sin is all about the damage in this world. But they're suffering a disease. It's not that they are making a choice about it. And praise God, today we have many things such as medication and counselling and so on, as well as prayer, that can support and help people like that. So is anxiety a sin? No. Now who can guess what the other answer is? Is anxiety a sin? Oh, I've lost it. There we go. Yes. Okay, now, is anxiety sin? Well, think about this. We're told time and time and time again in the Bible to trust in the Lord and not rely upon ourselves. Now, by temperament, I'm not a natural worrier, okay? But by temperament, I'm also a bit of a control freak and like to work things out. So the challenge is to trust in God in circumstances and not to rely on me being smart enough to work it out. And very often when we analyze what worries us, it is stuff that we are trying to work out, control, get our heads around. We're going to look at the next two in a minute. Jesus explicitly commands us not to worry. He says it about six times in various ways in the passage we read. And where our focus is primarily on the worry issue, there is a danger it displaces God. And we have said that sin is anything that falls short of the glory of God, anything that doesn't put God first. And so if our worry, whatever it is, is in front of our trust in God, then it is sin. And while an emotion is not a sin, we can choose to act sinfully in response to that emotion. We had a Bible study this week on anger. Remember that verse in Ephesians? Be angry, but don't sin. So anger is a natural emotion that can occur. But what you do with it matters. And I would say the same principle applies here. Anxiety and worry are right and natural. It's what you do with it that matters. So having completely failed to answer that, whether or not it's a sin, let's push on and let's have a look at what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. If you've got it, Matthew chapter 6, page 971. And I've just put it up in a rather noisy slide, but we're going to break it out in a minute. So just to show you, he says, Matthew chapter 6, he says, starts this, do not worry about your life. Okay, then he says, don't worry because I care for you. He says in verse 27, don't worry because it doesn't make a blind bit of difference if you do, unlike Tony's quote. Verses 28 to 32, don't worry because God knows what you need and he cares for you and will provide it. Verse 34, the last one I really relate to, don't worry about tomorrow. You've got quite enough to worry about today. And then finally, verse 33, which we will end on. So that's where we're going, okay? So, don't worry about stuff because life is more important. Don't worry about stuff because life is more important. Now, this is written to those of us here. Most of us have got a lot of stuff. Most of us have got too much stuff. In fact, I know someone in the congregation who makes a living of helping people get rid of all the stuff that they've got. But we worry about it. And the reality is that some of you know that Lucy and I in the past were involved in Christian work when we had very little. And at that time, actually, we didn't worry about stuff in quite the same way. We worried very urgently about some stuff from time to time. But I worry more about stuff now than I ever used to. Isn't that crazy? What is God's command? Through Jesus, do not worry about stuff because life is more important. Now, actually, it's pretty easy for us sitting here to say that because most of us know we're going to eat something again today. We're going to drink something. All of you here are wearing clothes. None of those clothes that I can see are desperately bad state, though you might know they are otherwise. But what about this message given to most people in the world for whom it might be really, really the essentials? Far more like it was when Jesus preached this message, when people did not have the support and the backup that we've got today. Those two pictures, in case you can't, one is a food bank, and the other one is a second-hand clothes market in Gaza Strip. And if you think about this message to people who've got next to nothing, and Jesus saying to them, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? It's a challenging message. Anytime we ignore a command of God, we know that that's sin, and God commands us not to worry. Then he goes on to say, giving a wonderful picture, look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. How much more valuable are you? This is a lovely, I think it's goldfinch, isn't it, Derek, I think? Is eating just something wild, one of those things that, I forgot what they're called, tessels? Teasels, thank you, teasels. And it's just eating some seed. And the point here is this. Do not worry. Why not? Because God values you. God cares for you. God's involved in your life. If he cares for even a goldfinch eating off a teasel, how much more does he care for you? Do you have that sense of God wanting to bless your life? Some of us were here yesterday doing the walk through the Old Testament. And at one point we sang, I am blessed to be a blessing. And I just wonder, do you even feel that first bit? Do you know you're blessed? Do you know that God values you? He loves you. He cares for you. And that's what he might just be saying to you today. That might be the only thing you need to know about worry. Your heavenly Father loves you and cares for you. Don't worry. Why not? Because it doesn't work. It doesn't work. I read this. Worrying can have a negative effect on your health, making you tired, stressed, and speeding up the aging process. Makes you more prone to depression, and because it reduces your immune system defenses, more prone to infections. So actually, worrying about something actually makes you worse off, not better off. Which of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? None of us. None of us. We're in God's hands. And worrying has the opposite effect. That's a pretty good logical reason. I think Susanna would let me say that one, for reducing worry. This is an amazing site that Lucy and I saw a few years ago. It's up in a high valley in Umbria in southern Italy. For 10.5 months of the year, it's just mist and grey and desert-like. And for about 2 months, it is a huge plain of wildflowers. No one's planting them, they just come up. They're utterly beautiful. And it's fantastic. And this is what then Jesus says. He says, see how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If this is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, or in this case dies off about 6 weeks later, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Don't worry. God knows what you need, and he can and he will provide it. Look at his creation. He has done amazing, extravagant things in creation. And we are special, valued to him. Our heavenly Father knows what we need, and he will provide what we need. Don't worry about tomorrow. Do not worry about the past or the future. This moment needs your attention, for this is where your life exists. I don't know what you thought about the session on mindfulness that we had. There was quite a lot of debate about afterwards about whether it was good or not and how it fitted in with Scripture. But I think it's right to say this, whatever you think. The moment that needs our attention is right now. Not in 6 hours' time or 6 days or 6 weeks or 6 years. And if, when we worry, all we're concerned about is something coming up in the future, we are failing to live the moment, which is how God has called us to live. He wants us to live and to work and to know what it is that he wants to love us with, to show us. He values us. He wants to pour out his blessing on each one of us. Don't worry about the past or the future. Live this moment. And so what Jesus says as the nub of the whole of this passage is verse 33. Seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Seek first his righteousness, his kingdom, and all these things will be given to you as well. This was a snappy little phrase I liked. Make God your first priority, not your last resort. That's kind of the opposite of the relying on yourself, isn't it? As an anxiety, as a worry comes along, are we able to take it straight to God and deal with it there? Or do we worry it to death? Do we go over and over and over it till we get ourselves into a terrible mess? And only as a last resort do we take it to God? Do we follow Jesus? Do we say when faced with a situation, Jesus, how should I respond? What should I do in this way? Take me through this. And the promise is this, that all these things, if we've got God first, will be sorted out for us. All will be well, and all manner of things will be well if we seek God's kingdom first. He will give us what we need, our daily bread. And as the verse that was quoted earlier today by Jill and Mark, my God will meet all your needs according to his riches, the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. I wonder if you look back, do you have examples of how God's done that for you? I think I've told this story before, but the first night we were in a new place in Hong Kong, and Lucy had gone to the market to buy a meal, and she bought some meatballs. We had two young kids, and these meatballs turned out to be Chinese meatballs, so by the time we cooked them, they were like super bowls rather than anything you could eat. They were completely disgusting, and the kids both burst into tears and said, "We hate Hong Kong, we can't eat anything, it's horrible." And we're sitting there with, and there's a knock on the door, and our neighbour had come to introduce themselves. And most unusually, in a Hong Kong context, they brought two chocolate bars for the Western children. And that was such a provision, because God knew at that point we needed two chocolate bars. And those two chocolate bars were just his provision at that time. Obviously, I think I've shared times of many much more dramatic things that were delivered as well. But that time, that was what really, really spoke. But really, anxiety, worry, you know what you're facing today. Are you able to cast all your anxiety upon him because he cares for you? Can you do that? At the house group, which I led on this subject, I joked that worry is not one of my besetting sins. And since then, I've been really, really worrying. A few days later, the neighbour backing onto our house shouted over the big wall between us that he was very, very worried about the wall. And on May the 13th, I wrote back to him and said, "We need to decide what to do. Do we get a surveyor in, or what do we do?" That afternoon, Margaret Holland was leading in Wednesday Fellowship. She was reading Psalm 62, and she said this. She said, "We're going to read all of it together, except two verses. Here's how it starts. Truly my soul finds rest in God. Truly he's my rock and my salvation. He's my fortress. I shall never be shaken." But these are the two verses she left out. "How long will you assault me? Would all of you throw me down this leaning wall, this tottering fence? Surely they intend to topple me from my lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they curse." On May the 14th, the wall fell down in a storm. You can see the barrier there. The house to the left is the neighbour there. You can see the other side is like a big clearing area because there's building going on there. And we're now in a very complicated dispute between a number of people and insurance companies, nowhere near being resolved yet. And I have been really worried about it. Worried that we might be sued, worried that we might have to sue someone, worried that things will go on. It's not my wall. I can't take any action. I am powerless to do something about it. That happened on the 14th of May. On the 15th of May, I was reading my Oswald Chambers reading for the day. His book, he says the 15th of May, so there's no doubt about it. It's not like you get to choose what you get on that day. This is what it said. God is the master engineer. He allows the difficulties to come in order to see if you can vault over them properly. By my God, I have leapt over a wall. God will never shield you from any of the requirements or a son or daughter of his. Rise to the occasion. It does not matter how it hurts, as long as it gives God the chance to manifest himself in your mortal flesh. Our Lord never dictated to his Father, and we're not here to dictate to God. We're here to submit to his will so he may work through us what he wants. When we realize this, he will make us broken bread and poured out wine to feed and nourish others. And my stomach turned. I don't want to be broken bread and poured out wine. I was very, very upset about the wall, about the dispute which continues, and about what it might mean, because God had said crystal clear, "I'm doing this for a purpose. Here's your evidence, Chris." I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to go. We are in that situation. I have been struggling because all that time I've known I've been about to stand up and preach a sermon on not worrying about something which, in the manner of speaking, could be fixed with probably just a large sum of money. But I have been worrying. And I have been recognizing that this is the challenge. I wonder what you are facing up to. Are you able to cast all your anxiety upon God because he cares for you? I do believe God cares for me. But when I look at the problem, I lose my faith. And I have to look back at God again. And that's hustle the whole time. A number of you know, and just thank you to the Frosts, Siobhan and Carol, who shared that letter with us recently as well. And I know the problems you went through and the worry you had, and now the rejoicing because you've seen God work things out. I don't know what's going to happen in this situation and how it will work out. But we can cast all our anxiety upon God. We can seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he will look after everything else. It's not often when you preach a sermon, you're right in the middle of it. This one I am. And I wonder if you're in the same situation. I wonder now, we're going to do something. We're not going to finish with a hymn. I will finish in a minute with a reading. But I wonder if you would just like to, reading, a short prayer. But I wonder if you would just like to talk to people alongside you. Now, this is always difficult, so let me put some rules around it. If you don't want to talk, you don't have to talk. Okay, fair enough. If, however, you don't know the person, introduce yourself and have a chat. Okay, but if you're able, and if there's something that you know that's worrying you, or something that you think is worrying them, listen, share it together, talk about it, and if you can, maybe you can even pray about it with them as you sit there. There'll be a few minutes to do this. It's just our approach 12, so we can spare 2 or 3 minutes. So please, just talk through, or give thanks to God for the way that he's helped you deal with a situation where you have been worrying or suffering anxiety. I want to finish with a quote from Olive. It's the Newham's day to day. They're getting lots of quotes. And this was another Wednesday Fellowship quote. I was going to say, anyone in their 50s and above who'd like to come to Wednesday Fellowship, God works there. He says things. He said 2 things to me in the last month. So please do feel able to come along. But what Olive said was this. She was giving out the hymn when she led it. And she said, this is that famous hymn, "Take It to the Lord in Prayer." Do you know that one? "Have you trials and temptations? Take them to the Lord in prayer." And she said, she was praying, she said, "Lord, we know as we get older, we worry a lot more. But thank you that we know that this is true. We can always come to you in prayer for whatever is on our minds." So as we finish now, okay, if you're able, just spend a moment or so talking. It might be that you just want to lift someone else that you know of, perhaps Therese or someone else today. But it might be that you've got something and God's been speaking to you about how you are dealing with that worry right now. Share it for a minute or two. And if you're able, pray together. If you don't want to, don't worry, you don't need to. Please talk to one another.